Let's turn to Matthew 13. This is where we're going to start. Matthew 13, a sower went to sow, and some seeds fell by the wayside and fell on, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them, but others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, and some 100-fold, some 30, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. You know, we have basically a description of the parables of Matthew 13, a mystery form of the kingdom of heaven. It is the sphere of profession of Christianity. The sphere of profession of Christianity. Now, and it gives us a general picture of those who profess Jesus Christ. Okay? And there are those in this world who want nothing to do with Christ. Obviously, we recognize them as the lost. But then there are those that there's an initial response, and then there's a withering away. Then there are those that time, they are choked out and die. And then there are those that really produce fruit for God. Okay, well, the Bible is picturing three spheres of profession of Christ. Okay, now, what's the difference between the stony ground, the thorny ground, and the good ground? Well, the good ground produces a seed bed in which the seed can grow and prosper. It is a general picture of what not only our hearts should be like, our lives, but it's also a picture of what a Christian home should be like. Christian home ought to be a seedbed in which the Word of God can take root and will produce fruit. How is it that some people, some young people and people, can hear the same message and get completely different results? I say that the main difference is the home. Doesn't matter what's preached from this pulpit. What is taught here, preached here, falls into one of these kinds of soil, and that soil is produced in the home. And if that home is the right kind of home, the seed is going to produce fruit. It's going to root. It's going to produce fruit. If the home isn't right, there's going to be a profession, but it's going to die out. All right? I realize this is an application of this truth, but I think there's a picture here. Okay? Along that line, I am going to introduce a very important subject here. I call it Christian culture. Every home ought to have a Christian culture. Now, culture if you go to a lab, they talk about a culture, don't they? Right? And it's a medium in which something can grow, right? It's a medium in which something can grow. And the Christian home ought to be a place where the Word of God can grow. and take root and produce the right results. Okay? Now, I want us to think a minute here as we get into this idea of culture. Okay? Now, you understand, in fundamentalism, there's a false teaching going on which says a fundamentalism needs to adapt to the culture. And I realize that, you know, maybe there are some things in the culture that are neutral. But let's think a little bit broader than what these Bible professors are teaching. Is there such thing as African culture? Yeah, Steve Anderson's told me, he says, wherever you go in Africa, it's all the same. African culture. Is there such a thing as European culture? Is there such a thing as Asian culture? Yeah, there's such a thing as Asian culture. You know, is there such a thing as American culture? Yeah. You know, I see foreigners come to America, and they want what America has, and so they have their kids become as American as possible. If they're Christians, those children, it will be almost, it will be one out of a 20,000 that any of them will serve the Lord totally with their life. Because American culture is full of evil. Okay? Now, think with me a minute. Think of New England culture in 1800. New England culture in 1800. What was it like? Anybody read To the Golden Shore? Oh, you need to read these books, To the Golden Shore. Everyone went to church. Sunday was the Lord's Day. There was no work on Sunday. There was no swearing. There was modesty. It was New England culture in 1800. The Judsons left that Christian culture and went to Burma. Just a dark, dark, miserable land. The culture was heathen, immodest, lying, stealing. If a person, you read the book, Ann Judson would describe the almost the psychological catastrophe of having to go and live in that place. No church on Sunday, no Christian friends. You know, is there such thing as New England culture of 1800? Yeah. What makes culture of the 1950s different than the culture of the 2010s? The culture of 1950 had many, many remnants of Christian thinking. Today, 2010, the day of let's talk about the day of heathenism, tattoos, piercings, cremation. We live in an increasingly heathen day without biblical thinking. Came over a process of time. Okay? Now, if you go to Europe, and Europe has European thinking. Okay? They never had Baptist thinking. You understand that? They never had Baptist thinking. And their thinking is based on a twisted culture. For instance, in Germany, on Saturday before Easter Sunday, the pastor, Lutheran pastor, who's the priest, he goes to everybody's house that's gonna be join the church the next day, has a glass of wine, celebrating. And at the end of the day, he's as drunk as you can imagine. Now, what kind of a culture do you think Germany has? The culture is based on their what? Their thinking, their beliefs, okay? All right? Now, I'm going to make a premise here. It is the need of every home, every parent, to establish in their home a Christian culture. That's the duty of every parent, to establish in their home a Christian culture. You understand that premise? Okay? Now, new fundamentalism isn't teaching that anymore. New fundamentalism is adapt to the culture. Most missionaries in Africa use African music in their fundamental. But guess what? Why hasn't Christianity in Africa reproduced itself in truth? You know why? They've never had Christian culture. They've never had Christian culture. They've had religion, they've had Christianity with African culture. Okay? Now, we'll try to go through some of this quickly here. But, boy, I wish the light... Hey, turn these lights on so I can see, okay? These, right here. Where's Jacob? Turn them on. You can tell when my body is tired because I can't see well. Okay, culture. Maybe it's this purple paper. Definition. Webster says a culture is the integrated pattern of human knowledge, belief, and behavior that depend upon man's capacity for learning and transmitting knowledge to succeeding generations. We kind of see a little bit of that there, don't we? Succeeding generations, knowledge, etc. Then they have another. A secondary, because it's kind of the result of this. The customary beliefs, social forms, and material traits of a racial, religious, or social group. The customary beliefs, social forms, or material traits of a racial, religious, or social group. Well, it's putting it in more general terms, but, you know, a culture, okay? Well, what's American culture? What the general, you know, way that people live, okay? But I have a definition of a Christian home. Christian culture is a culture based on the Bible, its commands, status, principles, is supposed to be statutes, principles, and the application to the nature of God and His revelation to every area of life. In that sense, it is a nurturing ground, not round, a nurturing ground for the Word of God to find root in hearts and minds through the ministry of the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, the parents, the church, and the school. A Christian culture. One may live in a heathen culture, but the culture of our church and family must be Christian. So here's the question. What would characterize a truly Christian culture in your home? Have you ever thought about, do I have a Christian culture in our home? Number two, what would be the basis and root, those other words, of starting and implementing a Christian culture in your home? How would you go about doing that? Okay? Let's look at a couple of scriptures. Esther, let's go there. Esther chapter 3. Haman didn't like Mordecai. Right? Why? He went bow down to him. Why wouldn't he do it? He wasn't Jew. He wasn't a Jew, and he was just a man. He's going to just bow down, and so notice what when Haman was going to make this decree against the Jews. Notice what he said. And Haman said to the king Ahasuerus, "There is a certain people scattered abroad and dispersed among the people in all the provinces of thy kingdom." Here was Israel been taken captive, just dispersed. "And their laws are diverse from all people." Notice that statement. Their laws are diverse from all people. Esther 3:8. I'm sorry, I didn't say it. It's in the book. It's on here too. Esther 3:8. "And Haman said to the king..." What did I say? Oh, yeah. It is. But I didn't tell you where. What book? Not Webster's. Okay, Esther 3:8. "Haman said to King Ahasuerus, 'There is a certain people scattered abroad and dispersed among the people in all the provinces of thy kingdom. And their laws are diverse from all people. Neither keep they the king's laws, therefore it is not for the king's profit to suffer them or allow them to live." Okay? Now, turn with me to Numbers quickly. Oh man, our time is flying by. Okay? You can look there, Numbers 25. Balaam says, "I can't curse the people, but I tell you what, if you want them to be cursed by God, get them to worship the gods of the Moabites." Now, they aren't going to worship the gods of the Moabites on their own. So what you do is you send your girls out there, and they will want to marry these girls. And the result will be they will worship the gods of these girls. So, put it in simple terms, what did he say? You get them to adapt to Moabitish culture, and we'll get them to worship the gods of the Moabites, and then God, you'll have to curse them. Then the God that won't curse them will have to curse them. You understand what I'm saying? And that's what happened. Now, so turn with me quickly to Deuteronomy. Are one of the few peoples that have not been lost as a nation over the centuries. They have avoided amalgamation in other cultures. Amalgamation always causes one to lose real faith. Note the Moabites and their effect on the Israelites. Notice Deuteronomy here. Deuteronomy, notice what it says. Deuteronomy 4 in verse 6. "Keep therefore and do them. For this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, 'Surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him? And what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments as righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligent, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them unto thy sons and thy sons' sons." Now, notice the whole gist of it. This law will make you different from all the nations of the world. This law will make you different from all the nations of the world, and nations of the world will look at you and say, they are different. They are different. Okay? Why? Because they have God's law. And they're living by God's law. Now, the Jewish people, think of, anybody ever heard of any Hittites lately? Anybody heard of any Amorites? I mean, what happened to those ancient nations? All been amalgamated into the world. And the Jewish people, under captivity, were spread all across the world. They are all over the world. And yet, in the world, they still, in one sense of the word, even in their unbelief without the Holy Spirit, are still different from all the peoples of the world. There's a lesson there. And what is happening today? Well, I think what's happening today is Christians are becoming more and more adopting the culture of the world. And Christian homes are becoming more and more like the homes of the world. And the reason is because Christians aren't thinking. Okay? So, in our classes today, we're going to have a little discussion about this, but we're going to do it specifically. Okay? We're going to talk about the Ten Commandments. Now, Jesus said that the Ten Commandments were a summary of all the law and prophets. Okay? Loving God with all your heart, loving your neighbor as yourself. And we're going to apply this to a specific thing. Okay? We're going to apply this. The discussion is going to be, how do we apply, what kind of TV program should we watch? What kind of movie should we watch in our home? And we'll have a good test to see if we really, you know, have a Christian home. You know, it'll be interesting to see the discussion, but we had some young people in high school write a paper on, you know, what kind of Christian home, you know, how they would have a Christian home. Most of them said, well, I would regulate TV and movies. Now, at least one said we won't have a TV. No one said we won't watch movies. And so then we got to class and I said, okay, what kind of movies will you watch? He said, you're going to regulate it. What are your regulations? What are your regulations? That is kind of the basis of our discussion in our groups, okay? So, you are dismissed. Go to your place, and we'll have some discussion.